My next guest is on the line, our regular travel correspondent. He is Dan Brotman, and today we are going somewhere particularly interesting and super exotic and hyper unusual, Afghanistan of all places. Dan Brotman, great to have you with me on Chai FM.
It's good to be with you, Simon. I'm actually on the road right now. I'm in the airport in Boston.
Heading off where this time, Dan?
I'm actually heading back to Montreal for a day and a half and then off to California. So I'm going to actually be on the road in about 8 different countries over the next few weeks. So looking forward to reporting back to you.
Oh, you bet. I got a massive smile on my face. Looking forward to that. Today, though, we decided we'd talk about Afghanistan, and truly, I can't think of a more overwhelming destination. Why, Dan? What got you there? When did you go? Over to you.
Sure. So I'm sure you remember from the news that the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan in 2021. So I actually was in Afghanistan, I believe it was the beginning of 2023. So it was about a year and a half after the U.S. withdrawal. I got an email from this tour company that I've gone to very unusual destinations with. And they said, we want to do a research trip. We don't know if it's safe to bring tourists back to Afghanistan. So we want to put like an experiment together, a very tiny group of very seasoned travelers and take them to Afghanistan to see if we can start bringing groups regularly there again. Would you join our research trip? So I, of course, agreed and joined that trip. And we were probably one of the first Western groups to return to Afghanistan since the Taliban retook the country.
You're a very brave man, Dan. I mean, it doesn't take much to Google you and see your very interesting background, which includes a stint in the IDF. I mean, did that not concern you massively that you were going to a Taliban-controlled country with your public history available to all to see?
No, that wasn't so much a concern for me. I mean, I think that I just didn't know what to expect in Afghanistan, to be honest. Our trip began in Pakistan. So at the time, all of the Afghan embassies basically around the world were not operating, were not able to issue visas because they were being run by the previous regime. So there were only a couple of embassies around the world that were being run by the new Taliban government, one of which was in Pakistan. So we actually started our trip in Islamabad, Pakistan, the capital of that country. We then went to Peshawar, which is a border on the Afghan border. It's on the border with Afghanistan. And we had a guide who bribed. He actually bribed the embassy with jewelry to get us inside. Wow. And we were issued with visas. And that very same day, we took a flight to Kabul. And you know, what I saw in Afghanistan was truly, truly horrific. And I actually wrote an article for the South African Jewish Report, particularly on the situation for women there. I had never seen anything like it in my life. Women were actually protected in the Afghan constitution. They had property rights, they were members of parliament, they went to medical school. And overnight, when the Taliban retook the country in 2021, they lost all of their rights. To the extent that when I was in Afghanistan, girls could not go to school beyond grade 6. So you went from having female university professors to overnight women could not study beyond grade 6.
So the story's true, Dan, about women in childbirth needing male doctors' help and not being allowed to ask for it because it was haram or whatever it is. Is it religious to that extent? Well, their interpretation.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. And it's gotten significantly worse since I was there. So, I mean, it was I was very, very focused on the situation of women there because I just never seen anything like it. So at the time, they do not allow this anymore, but at the time they allowed female news presenters on TV still, but they had to wear a COVID face mask. They could not show their face. So you were like watching female TV news presenters. You couldn't actually even see you couldn't even read their lips while they were speaking. You would see adverts on TV for like breakfast cereal with a family, but there would be no mother in the scene. You would have game shows where with only male contestants, only male audience. Women were not allowed into parks, were not into markets, were really not allowed in any public spaces. And the very few avenues women had to still earn a living in Afghanistan, for example, operating a beauty salon from their homes, that's now outlawed. Women were, I believe, were also allowed to be nurses at the time to treat other females. I believe that's also outlawed now. So women really have no way to earn a living, no way to get an education. And again, you've got to remember that in Afghanistan, there were many households that were headed by women, single mothers. They were suddenly plunged into poverty. And you know, in Kabul in particular, you would see many child beggars. I remember our tour guide, he went to buy some food, and by accident, his chips fell on the ground, and a swarm of women and children came to just where they were fighting over the chips that had fallen on the ground to eat them. So it really plunged the country into poverty. I was completely, completely horrified, and unfortunately, the situation has deteriorated for women. In terms of the Jewish connection, there are some interesting Jewish stories I had related to Afghanistan. So one story was when we were in Peshawar, that city in Pakistan, to get our visas. We were walking down the market, and I don't know what happened. I just took a look inside an antique shop from the outside, and all of a sudden, I spot at the very back shelf a beautiful, beautiful tile in Hebrew. And I asked the owner of the shop, I said, you know, and I did it very nonchalantly because I didn't want him to know that I was super interested in it. I said, "What is that tile in the back? And what is that writing?" And he's like, "Oh, I think it's just some like Islamic tile. I'm not really sure." And it turns out that that tile was looted from the synagogue in Herat, Afghanistan. There was a lot of looting that happened with all of the different wars and changes. It was stolen from the synagogue, brought to Peshawar, wound up in this antique shop. It said Issachar, which is one of the 12, and had a donkey. It was like one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I bought the tile. I bought the tile and brought it home with me. So again, that I mean, the looting of Jewish antiquities from Afghanistan was very evident, and I was able to get that out. Then, when the last Jews in Afghanistan left in 2021, and what's interesting is that they actually wound up moving to Canada. So it was a Jewish woman who married a Muslim man. She never converted to Islam, but she raised her children Muslim. And her children wound up immigrating to Canada. And when the Taliban took power, she was taken out of the country. So I was indirect, because I was living in Canada, I was in direct contact with her family. And I said, "I want to see the synagogue in Kabul." And so over WhatsApp, they live directed me to the synagogue on Flower Street. When I got to the synagogue, you could see the Magen David outside. But it was locked. You could not go inside. And why couldn't you go inside? Because at the time, the Taliban had ordered the closure of all all non-Muslim houses of worship. So synagogues, Hindu temples were all permanently closed, and I could not get inside the synagogue, but I was on the outside. I then had another experience. I was walking down a main street in Kabul, and again, I just glanced in a random antique shop. And I saw a glass medallion with a menorah on it with the symbol of the State of Israel. And I went inside and I was like, "What is this?" And they had no idea, but I, of course, knew what it was. It was clearly something that a Jewish family had left behind, maybe when they fled the country. And I purchased it for $6. So there are Jewish signs in the country. There were Jews there until 2021. And crazy trip. The security situation was very intense. There were checkpoints everywhere. I mean, you had to go through metal detectors to get into almost every building, because it's so that you know there's still, I think, fear of suicide bombings. And I remember when that plane took off from Kabul when we left, I just kind of breathed a sigh of relief. One other crazy story is I smuggled a suitcase out of Afghanistan of hard drives. So there was a nonprofit organization that supports girls' education. And I knew the founder of the organization. He received asylum in Canada, and he asked me if I would take a suitcase out of the country. And so I met up with people from the organizations and they gave me the suitcase. And I didn't even really look what was in the suitcase. I just knew it was a bunch of hard drives. And I remember at the Kabul airport, they started going through my bag by hand. And I was that's when it suddenly dawned on me, oh my God, what if they find these hard drives? I don't even know what's on them. But pure luck, they let me pass and I got the suitcase out of the country.
You went there to ascertain if it was visitable as a tourist destination. I would imagine the answer was a very clear no. This is not ready for tourism of any sort at this point.
Actually, quite the opposite. So afterwards, they deemed it fine for tourism, and they bring regular groups now to Afghanistan. What the tour companies do is they do also have female-only trips to Afghanistan. So again, part of the problem is we had no contact with women on the trip. And on the female-only trips, they have a lot of contact with Afghan women. And that was a perspective that I would have really liked to have. So yes, there was tourism in Afghanistan. There are groups that go now. You can also go on a female-only trip. The only female I spoke to my entire time in Afghanistan was in, I don't know if you remember the Bamiyan Buddhas. They were these very ancient Buddhas that the Taliban blew up the first time around.
Yes.
So I went to see the Bamiyan Buddhas, and I spoke to sort of a school-age girl. It was the only time I spoke to a female, and because no one was around. And she told me that they had closed her school. So she was now studying online with Afghan exile teachers. And she told me that there's no future for women in Afghanistan, and her dream was to be a businesswoman in Dubai. And I really wonder what happened to that girl. What was her fate? I think of all the obstacles she's going to face getting to Dubai, given that Afghanistan is one of the poorest countries in the world and she's a female. You have half of your population there that cannot receive an education or participate in the economy. And a country that the world has largely forgotten about, despite the fact that we were very involved as Western countries in the Taliban coming back and taking control again.
You know, the mind boggles at what you're telling me here. Suddenly, for the first time, I begin to understand why there's such an influx of Afghani refugees into Europe. What I'm not quite understanding, though, is why, if they're wanting to leave an oppressive culture like that, they seem to be happy to bring elements of it with them. That's a bit of a non sequitur for me.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think there are two things. I mean, of course, women want to leave Afghanistan, but they cannot leave the country without their husband's permission or their male guardian's permission. But honestly, yeah. I mean, the country was really already very poor to begin with, but now it's an internationally sanctioned country. I don't think there's a single government, at least that I'm aware of, that has relations with diplomatic relations with the Taliban. So it's cut off from the world. It was already very, very poor. And I think that many of the millions of Afghan refugees, they're just fleeing poverty. They don't have a way of making a living. The Taliban government does not create a conducive environment for people to make a living. And I know that, you know, I saw recently in the news that Pakistan, I believe, has expelled, you know, millions of Afghan refugees. They're being sent back into that environment. But again, I really emphasize that half of the population has no access to an education, has no access to work. And we cannot forget Afghan women, because I'm enraged when I see Western women protesting about every other cause, but there seems to be no protests for Afghan women. They're not in our consciousness.
Dan, we got to leave it there. It's 4:00. As always, thank you so much. Safe travels.